So we haven't intentionally done a heart series. It wasn't my purpose. But if you remember 2 weeks ago, I spoke on tender heart. You know, God loves you so much, and there's nothing you can do that would ever take that away. Doesn't matter how sinful and how much you turn your back on God. As soon as you turn your face towards the Lord, He always, always has an open door. Last week, I talked about the Father's love. It's not an emotion. You don't kind of come in and out of love. It's actually a choice. You need to decide if you want to love God or if you want to love people. And today we're going to talk about wholehearted love, being wholly set apart for God, and what does that look like. And then next week we'll finish off the story with Caleb. If you think about Moses and Aaron, they were, you know, the compadres, the two individuals that helped the Israelites leave the slavery into the wilderness. They obviously perished in the wilderness, and then two people, Joshua and Caleb, took up the reins, the mantles, and led God's people into the promised land. So we're going to talk about Joshua today. Next week, we will talk about Caleb. So in Numbers chapter 32, we pick up the story of God's people hanging around, and we pick up here where Joshua is spoken of in verse 11. It says, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more will come out of Egypt, will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 12, not one except, oh, there's a good word there, except these two individuals. We see Caleb, we see Joshua, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Out of like a million people plus, there's only two that were following God wholeheartedly and made it into the promised land. I'm taking notice of that because I know when God says it's a narrow road to follow me, I take that seriously. And when I take, you know, a filtering like that to two people, I want to know what these two individuals had going on that would make them be able to go through that whole process and still enter into the promised land. There must be something about following God wholeheartedly for them to be able to be entered into the promised land. If we flip to the New Testament, because, again, every verse you can find in the Old Testament is in the New Testament, or vice versa. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord God, not men. I don't know what your profession is. Obviously, you can see mine pretty clearly here. Before that, though, I was in retail, and before that, I was a manager, and before that, you know, I was a kid in diapers, but all those kind of things. So whatever your profession is, do it as you're doing it unto the Lord, not your boss, because bosses come and go. I remember serving under some pretty difficult bosses and some difficult employees or different, you know, co-workers, but you can't base it off of that. You have to go into it with a mindset of like, I'm going to serve God no matter what. This is where God's calling me. If God's called me here and God wants me in this position, I'm going to serve Him no matter who's above me. That's hard. That's easy to say. It's easy to read in the Bible, but try and live it. You all lived it at some point in your life. You're like, oh my word, I just want to quit. I want to leave. I want to get out of here. My God is saying, do it to me. Do it unto me. As you prepare anything, I just think about, I remember when we had a bus, we had so many vehicles up north in the fleet of vehicles that would pick up kids. We'd just send them out into the communities. And we would clean these vans from top to bottom because I thought, think about this. As a kid gets into the bus or the van, think about it as Jesus would. You know, if Jesus gets in the van, there's a honking, you know, sucker stuck to the seat, or the seatbelt doesn't work, or there's an old banana or a piece of pizza. Like, you want to get that out of there because it's Jesus going to sit there. And when we think about kids or anybody you work with, think about it in that light as well. That's why I put the root beers out there real nice for all those fathers here today. So as they're going to take something home, it's all nice and orderly. You know, English is on the front side. It's all in, you know, I'm joking, but seriously, like as God comes here, whenever you encounter Him, do it unto Him. If we're going to do it for people, people will honestly, at the end of the day, will disappoint you. People will let you down at some points. But if you're doing it for God, God will never be disappointed and He'll never let you down. And you can always walk away saying, I did it for Jesus and it's all going to be good. Now we see here in Numbers chapter 13, we see a list of individuals. So serving God in difficult times is, again, easy to say and read, but let's just see in the scriptures here. So in Numbers chapter 13, we see a list of all the people that they sent into the promised land and said, go check it out. you know, go spy on the promised land and then report back to us. We see that list there. The people come back and the report is not good. The report actually is good. It's like, whoa, it's like Hawaii over there. It's beautiful. I don't know where your destination is, you know, Bahamas or I don't know, you want to go to Europe. Wherever your like ideal destination is, picture that place. But there's giants over there as well that, you know, have now taken over and you're thinking, we don't want to go there. Beautiful, but it's not going to happen. So the people are now fearful. They get bound up in bad reports or negative thinking instead of having their eyes set on what God said. God said, I promise this to you. God has something for your life. God has promised something for you as an individual. But so often we get hurt. So often we experience pain. And then we get our eyes off of the prize, in a sense. We get our eyes off of what God has for us. And we see here Moses and Aaron currently as leaders in Numbers 14, that they're the leaders of the people that time. They fall face down. They say, this is ridiculous. All the people are scared, and Moses and Aaron, as always, you know, we go to the mountain and ask God for some wisdom, ask God for some tablets. They fall face down and say, this is crazy. And then we see the new leaders that are going to rise up now in Numbers 14, chapter 6. Joshua and Caleb, who are among those who had explored the land, they tore their clothes. So in a sense, what that means is that they raised their voice. They got angry. They got emotional. They showed like, this is ridiculous. I know all of you are scared, but God said this thing. So they got, you tear your clothes. I don't want to do that. It's actually some nice clothes. I don't want to, you know, but they got excited about it. In verse 7, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, you know, Moses and Aaron, they're face down and they say this. The land we passed through and explored was exceedingly good. Oh, thank God, it's going to be good. And in verse 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, don't think of the report. Don't think about what you can see with your eyes. If the Lord is pleased, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. I don't know what you felt like has been promised to you in your life. You think about as you go through, you graduate, you're thinking you've got, you know, all these ideas, you're going to go to school, all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden life hits you like a freight train. And all of a sudden, you start losing sight of some of these things. But we've got to get back to the Lord has a will, and he wants to give it to you. If you get your eyes on him, if you put your whole eyes on him. See, the spies were just focusing on what they could see in the physical. They see, like, this is not good. This is bad. We don't want to go there. This is not going to turn out well. But they were looking at it. Caleb and Joshua were looking at it through the eyes of the Lord. They had lenses of faith. They were saying, God has promised this to us, and I don't care what it looks like. Think about those times when God asks you to do something absolutely ridiculous, and you're like just checking with the Lord. Lord, are you sure about that? You know, why do we always have to check with God? I don't know why we do that, but I do it all the time. Say, are we on the same page, God? Like, you want me to do this or say that or, you know, but we do that, and that's okay. But just follow through with it. The second thing we're going to see here is that somebody's name is changed. So if we're going to follow God wholeheartedly, we're going to have to allow God to change our name. Now, not a physical name change, but a mindset name change. Think about the characteristics right now, or the attributes that come to your mind about you. Just say your name in your head. And what comes to your mind? I think of like instantly, like all of a sudden I feel regret. I feel pain. I feel like I've let God down. I feel like all these kind of things come to my mind. The first things that come to my mind aren't like, Pastor Rob is an amazing preacher. Pastor Rob has it all together. He has a, you know, like, those aren't the things that naturally come to our minds, right? It's not the enemy beating up. You're beating yourself up. And I wish I had my graduate book here with me. I forgot it this morning. But in it, you flip through the pages. Now, we don't do this because of bullying anymore, but they had a list back there of the pages, you know, nicest eyes, nicest leg, nicest character, nicest smile, all these things. And right at the bottom, most likely to go to jail, my name. When I graduated in 1996 in Charles Hayes. Now, it is funny, but I'm telling you, at that point in my life, I didn't know Christ. I took that and I wore that badge and I wore it well. I felt like I was the devil's son. Like, I was just bad. I was bad to the bone, however you want to say it. I was in and out of all kinds of things because that's what I thought my value was worth. That's all that I thought I had purpose for. I thought that's what I was designed to do. And I did it very, very well. But then God showed up in my life and gave me a new name. He didn't change my name. My name is still Rob. It was Robbie back then. Please never call me that. Rob or Robert is okay. And I don't know, I guess when you get older, maybe Bobby, or I don't know how it all works. But anyways, just please don't ever say that. I can't believe it. And that's on camera now too. We're really screwed. But God changes what you think of that name. So often we don't have a positive experience with our name. We just kind of throw it off to the side. And God gave you that name. It wasn't an accident. There was a purpose and a plan in it. And he wants you to inherit it and let it speak to you. So we see here in Numbers 13, verse 16, because if you looked at the list right here in Numbers 13, you look at it, you know, from the tribe of here, and so we see the 12 tribes of the people that God sent out. We don't see Joshua's name. Look at it. You see, where is it here? You see Hosea, son of Nun. You don't see Joshua's name there. And there's so many reasons why it's that way. So let me just kind of break it down for you a little bit. Because we see in verse 16 here, right after that, Moses says, we picked all these names for you. And then we see in verse 16, it says this. These are the names of the men Moses sent out to explore the land. Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Now we see, so again, a couple takeaways. First one is that this is a historical evidence. This is a historical document. It has to have his birth name there. So that if you look at it back in history, you can track all the names back to Adam and Eve. It has to be there. But you see a verse later, we're reminded of what Moses named him, changed his name to Joshua. Now just picture this with me for a second. Moses is an Old Testament type and shadow of Jesus Christ. So really what's happened there is that Jesus Christ, God, saw Hosea and said, I want to give you a new name now. Isn't that just majestic to think about? As God sees you, as you see God, God speaks into your life, and you have a whole different thinking about your name. The second thing we take away is that when you translate it, you know, from Greek to Hebrew to English, there isn't much of a change in the spelling of it, but there's something that monumentally happens to the name. So Hosea was given this name probably because if you're a slave in bondage, you think that one day you'd be free. One day a generation is going to leave the slavery, and one day we will be free, and we'll have some land, and we'll be free of all of this nastiness. And so they give the name to their son, Hosea, which means a desire for salvation. Oh, we pray that one day we'd be free, and maybe this son's name will desire to be free as well and will help us to get free. And so many generations were abused by the Egyptians, and we see this name given here, desire for salvation, that the people of God really one day wanted to be free. Oh, we don't want to live like this anymore. Please, God, help us to get out of here. Let's just start naming all of our kids about freedom and getting out of here. It goes on, though, to think about, okay, so his new name is Joshua. Why is that? Because there's a fly on my head. Get out of here. Take off, eh? Because so Joshua, ironically, does the same. Joshua's name means the Lord is salvation. It's not a desire anymore. I've now given it to you. You are now free. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? You were wanting salvation, then the Lord showed up and he gave it to you for free. He gave it to you for nothing. No Egyptian military army or mystical powers, all those kind of things could ever take that away, because God showed up and God was going to free those people, and God gave him a new name. The third thought that comes out of here is in Christ, Hosea to Joshua is really, it's our story. Think about that. You know, we have all longed to be free, haven't we? But there are things that go on inside of our minds and our thoughts, and we lose sleep and we're stressed out. All those kind of things we want to be free from. All those kind of decisions I made as a young person, all those kind of decisions that we made, all those kind of choices, all those words that we said that hurt people, we want to be free of that. I don't want to think about that stuff anymore. I want to be free in Jesus Christ. So we see here God changes a name. I desire to be free of that. We all come here this morning, I'm sure, thinking like, I need to change. I want God to do something in my life. And God shows up and he delivers that to them. He'll deliver that to you when you serve him with all of your heart, when you put all of your chips in. You say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. And the last thing that we see here is that as Moses says that over him, he's really speaking over his life. I think so often it's so easy for you and I, and I think if we turn the news on, we just get programmed this way, that we see negative, we see all the bad things that are going on, and then we see other people in the same light. Like I said, if you've got a boss that's difficult, or you've got some neighbors that are difficult, or those kind of things, and all of a sudden, when you say their name or you talk about them, it's negative. It's not positive. But what's happening here is Moses is speaking a name change over him. He's speaking a prophetic blessing over him. He's saying, I know I see you in this light, but I want you to see how God sees you, that the Lord is your salvation. Isn't that great news? Oh, calling names. But let's not call each other names. Let's actually call each other up. Let's call each other to what God. What's the talent? What's the thing that God has you, has designed in you and for you? You know, when we see each other kind of doing something good, don't forget to say something. So often we do something good. We're like, yeah, that was a good thing. We don't say anything. We're like, well, that was stupid. Why did you do that? You know, like, as soon as we do something wrong, we're all over it. When we do something right, we forget to say anything. Call it out. Call it out. Say something. So important. Man, our young people, as they're graduating, I don't know how you felt when I graduated. I felt like, man, I need somebody to speak into my life. I need somebody to say something positive. I need somebody to tell me there's a better, you know, future for me. I need somebody to just, you just want to hear that. You want to receive that. Let's do that. We're believers. We should have, you know, we should be hitting a home run in that department. So the last thought here is, what happens when you don't follow with all of your heart? What could that look like? So let's find, you know, whoa, lots of stories here, but let's go find one. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We see here in 2 Chronicles different kings coming and going and taking up leadership. And we would see usually in the first couple of verses of what kind of king that was and how he responded. So we're going to pick up Amaziah, the king of Judah at the time, in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We'll jump in verse 7. So let's just listen to, you know, as he takes up leadership and how he leads the people. Let's just listen to his heart. It says, but a man of God came to the king and said, O king, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the people of Ephraim. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to overthrow. Amaziah asked the man of God, but what about the 100 talents I paid for these Israelite troops? You know, he kind of tried to build up his army. He kind of went around and bought some people, thought, well, if I have a bigger army, I'll be able to beat them. The man of God replied, now the Lord can give you much more than that. So Amaziah dismissed the troops. He paid for these troops and he just dismissed them. Okay, I'm going to listen to the man of God. I'm hearing what God is saying to me. Just dismiss them. So Amaziah dismissed the troops who had come to him from Ephraim and sent them home. They were furious with Judah and left for home with a great rage. Amaziah then marched his strength and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where they killed 10,000 men. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 men alive, took them to the top of a cliff, and I don't want to read this, don't listen to this, and threw them off, and they all dashed into pieces. Ouch. Meanwhile, the troops that Amaziah had sent back had not allowed to take part in the war raided Judea, towns from Samaria. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. When Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Ammonites, he brought back the gods of the people. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down to them, and burned sacrifices to them. I was tracking with this guy. This guy was like, yeah. He is almost like a Gideon, right? God says, get rid of some of your troops and go fight with less people. I'm like, this guy's good. We like this guy. He's hearing from the Lord. He's obedient. He's listening. He has no fear, right? He went into battle with less people, threw away money. He just, you know, threw away all the troops and get out of here, lost money on the deal, all those kind of things. That seems like a good guy. That seems like a Christian. And all of a sudden, you're like, what happened? Why did all of a sudden there was this change? Now that we got all this plunder and all these other gods look better than my God. I'll worship them all of a sudden. How did that happen all of a sudden? Man, so often we can get tripped up in life, get confused, and if we're not this way, listen to what it says. We talked about the very first few verses will tell us about the king, what kind of king he was. Verse 25, chapter 25, verse 2, sorry. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Bing! We just read about it, but not wholeheartedly. Ooh, there it is. Not wholeheartedly. I think it's honestly sometimes easy to play church. I think it's sometimes easy to throw on some clothes and come Sunday. But I'm talking about each and every day you're listening, you're opening your Bible. That's wholeheartedly. That's going out and saying, God, whatever you said to me, I'm going to go do it. I might have to give something up. It might cost me something. I might, you know, it might inconvenience me. I got a schedule today, God. I don't have time for this. That's wholeheartedly. That's what we're talking about here. And I know that many of us can resonate that. We can follow that, you know, because following rules and, you know, commands, you say, well, I can, you know, I'm a good person. I remember saying that to somebody not too long ago, saying up north there was, we had an evangelist that he could really see in the spiritual realm. And he said, I can see things that are on you, different kinds of whatever, it's addictions or different kinds of things. He could see that. And so we went around and we were praying for people. And I thought, ooh, this is fun. But I'm praying the whole time thinking, I don't want that spirit on me. So I'm like, oh, you know, be careful. But I just remember turning to him and saying, is there a spirit on me? He said, oh, yeah. I was like, nuts, you know. And so he dealt with some things in my life. But I want to be free of that. I don't want to let those things lead my life. I want to follow Christ. I want to follow Jesus with all of my heart. So we see that. Don't just be kind of a rule follower or a commandments follower, or you do right in the eyes of the Lord, but behind closed doors you do different things. It's all in or nothing. There's really no halfway with God. There's no three quarters. There's not like, I'll just keep a couple chips back here. You know, I'm all in, but just a couple back in the back corner. Like, it's all or nothing. There's only two choices. And I just want to encourage you with that thought. You've got to go all in. Let's finish off. As we flip just a couple pages over, let's find a good king for crying out. Let's finish on a positive note, right? Let's find a one that followed the Lord. So 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 2. King Hezekiah, here we go. It says this about him. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So we see, okay, King David, good guy. Let's just see what Old Testament King David, just make sure we're clear about that one. We see here, verse 31, though, we're going to read about what he did. So let's read about what King Hezekiah did in chapter 31, verse 20. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judea, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord, his God. Well, there it is right there. Doing what was right, doing what was faithful, following his God. Not somebody else's God, not your parents' God, not your, you know, ideas' God, like his personal God. Verse 21, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God. And just, you know, it's on the screen, you know what it says, but listen to that again. Doing what was good, doing what was right, doing what was faithful, following the law, following the commands, following his God, sought after his God, but it's still listed there wholeheartedly. Because without that, I feel like we would have read a different story about him again. But wholeheartedly, he did those things. He didn't do it because somebody had told him to do it. He didn't do it because it was a good idea. If I do these things, I'll be blessed. He did it because he wanted to see change. He wanted his whole heart to be into it. I think so many people are always watching. I know, again, first 23 years of my life, I was looking and watching and trying to find something that was authentic and real. Tried everything. And finally, one day, I found what I was looking for. That was 21 years ago. In 2023, New Year's Day, I will be saved one day longer than I was not saved. So it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a party that day. And for crying out loud, we better be able to gather and have a party on that day. But here's what it says in Romans chapter 6. So let's again flip to the New Testament, because we spend a lot of time in the Old Testament today. We are going to get into the New Testament again just for a moment. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, but thanks be to God. Though we used to be slaves to sin. You know, there's nobody else to thank because honestly, we're just not that good. We're not that intelligent. We're not that smart. We can't figure it out. We're never going to be free from sin. We're going to be free from our thinking. It's only thanks be to God. At 23 years of my life, I didn't wake up one day and thought, you know what, forget this business. I'm going to become Christian overnight. Like, that's just not in my thought process. But God just showed up and did something. But God, and thanks be to God, who wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you were entrusted. As you hear the word of God, as you hear these scriptures, I pray that you would receive them wholeheartedly. I pray that every time you hear worship, every time you hear the word, you know, read out loud, I pray every time you open your Bible, I pray every time, you know, just any time you connect with God, I pray that you would just be drawn in to say, I'm all in, God, whatever it looks like, because you've got a perfect plan for my life. Again, I think so many times we think about all the negative things. We think about, you know, I wonder what it would look like. What would it look like right now for you as an individual? And we don't say it out loud because I think the people next to you might know. That thing, just go for one. Let's not go for a home run. Let's not do like a baker's dozen 13 because that would be challenging. Just go for one. One thing that somebody knows about you, the way that your character is, the way that you respond, your anger, your frustration, your worry. What happens if that was to change? You know, I think of people, and I can just, let me just picture one person, okay? And I think about the way that they are. It would take a serious miracle for that person to change. And just think about it, you go to work, you have experience with people, and there's like sandpaper, a little bit tough around the edges sometimes. But what happens if they came to work one day and they were different? You would say, you wouldn't say this, but some people would say, what book did you take? What counselor are you seeing? What, you know, list goes on and on. Okay, what made you change? Because we're looking for change in life. But I wonder as Christians, if people that know you and they know your stuff and they know there's certain attributes or characteristics about you that are not perfect, because we're not perfect, I'm far from perfect, if that changed one day. Do you feel that? Do you see that? As you interacted with people and they said, what happened to you? You say, but God. See, that's the Bible. That's real living gospel. Because we come here into this building, we hear the gospel. We're changed, we experience God, praise God. This is the temple, this is the house. But you're the house. The Holy Spirit lives in your temple. So as you go out into the world and your life changes, people are attracted to that. They don't have to be attracted to this building. Man, get that out of our heads. They're attracted to the God inside of you that's changing you. Oh, come on. Oh, man, I just get excited about that thought. We're just like little, you know, going out. Anywhere we go, we say, oh, wherever we put our hands and our feet, people are just like, they can experience God. And it doesn't even have to be in like some kind of like, I made an appointment with this person and we're going to, you know, 5 o'clock on this day. Just go out and do it. I remember me and my son had this opportunity God gave us, and God was always a good reminder of this. This is just something, just tiny, 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 just a takeaway here. We changed internet providers. We have to be careful because we're online, which companies we used, and we gave up. We returned the products, and we got a return slip saying, remote, yeah, modem, yeah, this goes on. So she rips off the top one, white copy goes to her, she gives me a pink copy, and I think, oh, that's very nice. And we go home, and then I realize underneath is what they call, it's yellow, but it's Canary, because it's a professional company. It says Canary for the file. I thought, oh, that's not good. I should make sure I get that back to her. And as we went back to her, we thought, that company was really good to us. We appreciate them. They don't have flies in their company. But we were so thankful for them, and I wanted to finish well. So we went and we got a dozen donuts. And then we drove them over there really fast because it was so hot out yesterday. We didn't want the donuts to melt and all the ice to melt. Just sped over there. I mean, we obeyed the law. And then we dropped them off with the yellow copy, and we said, hey, we just love you guys. You know, you did so well for us. We hate to part ways, but we just, again, just whatever. There's just moments like that every day. Those are just tiny things, but represent the Lord. Do something in that lady's life that sat there all day and had her head ripped off all day. Do something nice. Whoa, right? That's what we're to do. We're to call people up. We're to call people out. We're to point out the good things in their lives because that's who God sees in each one of us. I pray in Jesus' name we'd be more like that. Let me not close in prayer because I was about to, even I really want to, but because we've got all these other announcements now, we've got all this housekeeping stuff we've got to take care of. But let's just leave this place. After we hear these announcements, let's leave this place just with our eyes open. God, what are you doing? I am a child of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. What are you wanting to do in my life? Let's not spin our wheels and waste our time about all the stuff that's going on. Let's find the positive things that are going on and call each other up on it.